Chapter 19. The Death of Dr. Sloper. Neither Dr. Sloper nor Mrs. Almond ever learned the true story of the end of the engagement. In the following months, Mrs. Pennyman never gave satisfactory answers to any of their questions, and Catherine revealed nothing more than she had already told her father. Dr. Sloper even went to visit Mrs. Montgomery, but she didn't know any more than the doctor. Dr. Sloper, however, never believed Catherine's version of the events. Sometimes he thought that Morris had broken off the engagement. At other times, he was convinced that Catherine and Morris had only pretended to finish the relationship and would get married after he died. Over the years, Dr. Sloper became more and more certain that this second possibility was true, especially when Catherine refused marriage proposals from two suitable gentlemen. One was a wealthy widower with three young daughters. The second was a clever young lawyer who was truly in love with Catherine. Although she enjoyed their company, Catherine preferred to stay unmarried. She never forgot Morris or the pain that he and her father had caused her, but she decided not to spend the rest of her life being depressed about it. She was now much more self-confident, went to parties, and became a respected older friend to the many wealthy young men and women who confided in her. She did voluntary work for charities and hospitals and was satisfied with her life. 15 years passed before Morris's name was mentioned again in the house in Washington Square. One day, Dr. Sloper, who was now retired from his profession, suddenly said to Catherine,
"I want you to promise me something before I die."
"Why are you talking about dying?" Catherine asked.
"Because I'm getting older, and it's natural for me to think about my death," Dr. Sloper replied. "I want you to promise me that you won't marry Morris Townsend after I die."
Catherine was extremely surprised by the request and said nothing for a moment. Finally, she asked, "What made you think of him all of a sudden?"
"Because he was recently in New York for a short visit. Your Aunt Elizabeth met him at your cousin Marion's house," her father answered.
"Neither of them told me," said Catherine.
"I suppose they didn't think you'd be interested," Dr. Sloper said. "They said that he's fat and bald now and still poor. He was married for a short time, but his wife died."
"I rarely think of Morris," Catherine responded, trying to imagine Morris being fat and bald. That description didn't match the memory she had of him as the most handsome man in the world.
"Good. Then it will be easy for you to promise what I ask. If you don't, I'm going to change my will," said her father.
Catherine sat quietly and thought for a few moments. Her father's request reopened an old wound and made it hurt again. She had suffered from his control over her when she was young, and she didn't want to repeat the same mistake now that she was a confident woman in her late 30s. "I don't know if I can promise that," she finally said, and left the room, happy that she had refused her father's request. About a year later, Dr. Sloper became very ill. Catherine and Mrs. Pennyman took very good care of him, according to his instructions, but he died 3 weeks later. When the family lawyer opened the doctor's will, he found two different documents. In the first document, dated 10 years previously, Dr. Sloper had left most of his money to Catherine, and the rest to Mrs. Almond and Mrs. Pennyman. In the second document, dated just a few months before his death, there was a change. Although Dr. Sloper had still left a lot of money to his sisters, there was only a small amount for Catherine. The rest was left to various hospitals and medical schools. In this will, he had written,
"Catherine has already got enough money to attract lazy, selfish men whom she seems to prefer to suitable gentlemen."
Mrs. Pennyman was very angry.
"What your father did wasn't right. You must go to court and fight to receive your father's money."
"No, I won't. I didn't expect him to leave me any money, and I really don't mind," Catherine said. "I only wish that he had written something kinder about me in his will."